If you have your Bibles, please turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. We're continuing our work through this paragraph in chapter 2, so follow along, please, as I read beginning at verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 5. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We're not all at the same place in our growth. Some of us have been at this a long time, some of us not so long. For some of us, these words will be an encouragement. For some of us, these words will be a challenge. For most of us, it will be both. So help us to block out the distractions. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first part of this section, Paul reminded the Thessalonians of how he and Silas and Timothy had gotten to them by way of Philippi and some of the things that had happened there, and then they got to Thessalonica and some of the challenges there. And he finished in verse 4 reminding them that we did not speak as pleasing men. That was not our goal. The message is the gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. The response he requires is faith, not works. Faith in the finished work of Christ. And so while there may be a variety of methods for sharing that truth, the methods must never overshadow the truth. The illustrations must not be what you leave with, but rather that truth. And for the teacher, the preacher, the evangelist, he finished by saying it's God who examines our hearts. It's very easy to stop at wanting to please those who are immediately around us, to please those from whom we get the immediate feedback. But Paul says, most important, at the end of the day, is what God knows, not only about what I have done, but why I've done it. He not only knows my actions, he knows my heart. One of the joys of having been with you all for as long as we have been is that even when I've gotten it wrong, most of you knew. that my heart was right. Now, don't misunderstand, it's not always. I can get caught up, just like most of us can, in doing what's expected and doing what is seen, and making sure that what is seen is good, and forget what's going on inside. I can do that too. But at the end of the day, Paul says it's God who examines our hearts. It's not man who examines our actions, who is the final word, but rather God who examines our hearts. So he says then in verse 5, for instance, we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. There's that idea again. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. Now remember, when Paul gets to Thessalonica, he has a built-in audience. Unlike Philippi, Thessalonica has a synagogue. And so Paul can go into the synagogue, identify himself as a Pharisee, as a teacher, and he automatically has a platform. Now, as happens with him over and over again, he doesn't get to keep it very long, but he automatically has a platform just out of respect for his position. We will hear you, Rabbi Paul. In Philippi, he had to go look for people gathered together and just start sharing the gospel. When we came to you, we didn't come with flattering speech. I didn't stand up there as the guest lecturer, the guest preacher, the guest evangelist, and go on and on about who I am and what all I have done. I didn't do that. Could have, but knew that that would take away from the message, so determined he should not. Does Paul ever give us his pedigree? You know he does. But at the end of which, he always says, doesn't really mean much, does it? Because all that really has any value is the gospel, God himself, the finished work of Christ. We are just messengers. So we didn't come with flattering speech or with a pretext for greed. We didn't get into the synagogue and speak of how wonderful it is to be with wonderful people like you, how intelligent you are, and how generous you are, and how generous you're going to be, how you're going to respond to the message that you're about to hear. Because we weren't there to draw a salary. We weren't there to make money. These missionaries were a unique group. Yes, they could go and share the gospel, for instance, in a synagogue, and would gladly receive any kind of honorarium. That's fine. But if there were no honorarium coming, if there were no synagogue to meet in, that's okay. Each of them had a trade, because each of them had fathers who knew that no matter what you decide to do in the future, you may at some point need to fall back on your hands and being able to do something. So each of them knew how to do something with their hands. And they were all quite willing to do that, because they weren't out there for the money. They weren't out there for the offerings that would come in. So getting more offerings was never a goal, was never a part of their purpose. Nor, verse 6, did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. Yes, I used my position to gain a hearing. I could go to the ruler of the synagogue, the chairman of the board, and tell him who I am, and I knew I would immediately get an opportunity to speak to you. I could do that. But after that, trying to impress you with who I am and all I've done, Paul says, no. No, we didn't bring along people who would speak to our great ability and great accomplishments. No, didn't do that. Because we were there simply as messengers of the gospel, the good news. We didn't need that. Even though, end of verse 6, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. Couldn't do that in Philippi. There might have been a handful of Jews, but there weren't even enough to have a synagogue. There weren't 12 adult men, adult Jewish men, to have a synagogue. So there was no organization to exert authority over. Here in Thessalonica, there is a synagogue. All Paul is due, culturally, is a hearing. We could have exerted our authority as apostles, you know, as entitled, but we didn't even do that. Because that was not our purpose. It's not about us. It's not about me. But rather that the gospel, God loves you, Jesus died for you, is presented clearly. That you come away. Yes, maybe I used one of those fish hooks that drew you in. But once I got you there, you didn't leave remembering the fish hook. You left remembering the gospel. You left remembering how much God loves you. You left remembering that Jesus died for you and rose again. That's what you left remembering. Instead, verse 7, we proved to be, here's that word, gentle among you. Now the illustration that Paul uses, see that kind of goes right along with that idea of thinking that gentle is all about being girly, effeminate. But think with me about this illustration. We prove to be gentle among you. Gentle as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Most of you have been there. This is not if there were ever truly an illustration of power under control, it would be a nursing mother caring for her children. Do you see what he said there? A nursing mother caring for her children. A powerhouse, mothers. This did not go over well with me at first. I have a book in my library written by Jerry Jenkins, Seven Things I Want My Sons to Know. One of them is Your mother works a lot harder than I do. As we have grown older, we've been able to learn how to share and encourage and compliment one another in what we do. But what we went through a long time where there was no one busier in our family than my wife and the mother of our children. There was always something to do. And to do it successfully required gentleness. And what does gentleness mean? Power under control. From the child at breast to the two-year-old who could be almost anywhere. But all under the watchful eye of mom. Paul says, that's the picture I get when I think of our time with you. We proved to be gentle, power under control, like that mom who even with a nursing child is caring for all the other children as well. And you know who's at the top, well, top or bottom of that list, I don't know. The guy responsible for all those children. She's caring for him too. Remember the Proverbs 31 mother? Remember her? Concerned for her children, concerned for her husband, concerned for the staff, concerned for her community. That's power, but it's got to be power under control. Paul says, that's what we prove to be among you. That's who we are. That's who we were. We knew the difference between could and should. We were gentle with you. Illustrated, verse 8, by having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. It was not enough for us to simply come in and share the gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose again to prove that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, the Savior of man. Your responsibility is to respond by faith, believing what seems to be unbelievable, that God loves you. But it didn't end there. He said, we also gave you our lives. We don't know for sure what all that meant to this particular church. We suspect, like other communities and other churches, it meant that Paul spent a lot of time not only teaching, but just spending time with them. He also spent a lot of time working to support himself and to help support Silas and Timothy as they worked to help support Paul. They gave of themselves to this ministry, not just the teaching portion of it, but everything else that has to go on behind the scenes in order for them to be there and to share the gospel. For people to hear the truth. Because you had become very dear to us. I don't know why I had trouble getting that out this morning earlier as I was reading that. Because you had become very dear to us. This is not just a job. This is not even just a ministry. This is a lifestyle. This is who we are, Paul says. And above it all, God is witness. Yes, you were there. You remember when we came. Some of you were there right at the beginning. Some of you were among the first believers. Others have come along since. But more importantly, most importantly, God is witness. He was watching what we were doing. He not only knew what we did, he knew why we did it. He not only knew what we said, he knew what we were thinking. He knew what was in our heart. We proved to be gentle among you. Power under control. Remember who Paul used to be back when we knew him as Saul of Tarsus? He was an arrogant, powerful, vicious man who was absolutely sure that these Christ followers, these Christians, were a dangerous cult to Judaism and needed to be not just silenced, wiped out. There was nothing gentle about him. There was power out of control until Jesus came along, stopped him in his tracks, and made him gentle. You had become very dear to us, he says. They're just a part of a very long prayer list that this guy carries with him, praying for them regularly. Not just because they're one more stop on an evangelist's tour. No, because he remembers them. He knows many of them by name. He prays for many of them by name. He truly loves them, and he knows that they love him. But at the end of the day, as he lays his head on a pillow, Paul would have asked this question: have I pleased you today? Lord, have I pleased you today? Have I used this day well? You know not only what I did, but you know why I did it. Even when I did the right things, you know if I did it for the right reason. You know what my motivation was. You know who I was really trying to please. You knew who I wanted to impress. I can't hide that from you, can I? Have I pleased you today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray that we've handled it accurately. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, and others, whom you used to help lay the groundwork for your church, and for these writings that you protected for us so that we can have your very word to speak to our hearts and to our lives, so that we can have the information, be able to answer the question of not just can I do it, but should I do it? What will please you? How can I prove to be truly gentle? Forgive us, please, when we fail. Help us in our pursuit of godly gentleness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.